Hey, what's up, guys? It's your favorite dead duo, and today's rewind is not dead.
Because today we are starting the third season of The Dead Rewind, and there is no better way to start than with the iconic true crime and paranormal case of the Lizzie Borden murders.
That's right. When discussing which episode to start this season with, Lizzie Borden was an easy choice. It involves some murder, some mystery, and some paranormal. That's what this whole show is about.
A lot of people know about Lizzie Borden and her ex. I mean, they even made a nursery rhyme out of it, which is very spooky.
I really love the Lizzie Borden case, so let's not waste any more time. Before we get started, we just wanted to tell you all that we have a website now. Go visit us at thedeadrewindpodcast.weebly.com. That's at thedeadrewindpodcast.weebly.com. Or you can just follow us on Instagram at thedeadrewindpodcast. We would love to hear from you guys on either platform.
We also have a new way to interact with you guys. Once you are done listening to our episode, head over to Spotify if you are not already there and answer the question found at the bottom of the episode description. We would love to hear from you guys, and you may even get a shout out on the podcast. And with that being said, we will be right back. We are back, and let's get into this season 3 premiere of The Dead Rewind.
I think we should jump right into it. It's just too good not to dive right into.
Sounds good to me. Would you like to start?
Oh, sure. Let's start from the beginning, shall we? Lizzie Borden was born on July 19th, 1860, in Fall River, Massachusetts, to Sarah and Andrew Borden. Borden grew up well off, her family having quite a large estate for the time. The Bordens brought Lizzie and her sister Emma up in a relatively religious environment. They attended Central Congregational Church, and Lizzie was very involved in her church. She taught Sunday school to children of immigrants. She was involved in the Christian Endeavor Society, where she served as the secretary and treasurer. Plus, she was involved in the Women's Christian Temperance Movement.
Not long after Lizzie was born, her mother died in 1862, which led Lizzie's father to remarry, being engaged to a woman named Abby Gray. Lizzie never seemed to be a big fan of her stepmother because she believed the woman married her father only for his wealth. The Borden's maid, Bridget Sullivan, would testify that Lizzie and her sister rarely ate meals with their father and stepmother. That's only the tip of the family tension iceberg.
During her childhood and young adulthood, Lizzie loved caring for wildlife, even building a roost for some pigeons that frequented the Borden house. In May 1892, Lizzie's father butchered the pigeons with a hatchet, which would obviously upset Lizzie because of her care for the animals. In July of the same year, a large family dispute caused Lizzie and her sister to extend their vacation in New Bedford. Upon her arrival home, a week before the murders, Lizzie stayed in a local rooming house for 4 days before she actually returned to the Borden home. The tension is just continuing to build.
Many believe the family tension grew from the fact that Lizzie's father was gifting real estate to various branches of Effie's family. During all of the real estate disputes, Lizzie's uncle came to stay with the family the night before the murders. It is believed that a conversation between their uncle and father seemed to only make the tense situation worse. To only add to the growing tensions, the entire household fell ill just a few days before the murder. It is most likely due to the mutton that was left on the stovetop, but Abby Borden believed it was poisoned because her father was not a very popular man.
John Morse, Lizzie's uncle, arrived at the Borden estate on August 3rd and stayed in the guest bedroom. The whole family had breakfast together the next morning, and then Morse and Mr. Borden went to a separate room, talking for almost an hour. The two eventually left around 9 a.m. after their secret conversation, and in the Borden home, Abby Borden went upstairs between 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. to clean up the guest bedroom, which was usually Lizzie and Emma's chore. At this time, Abby was killed, and when she was killed, she was most likely facing her killer, so like she saw this attack coming. She was first struck on the side of her head with a hatchet, cutting close to her ear. This caused her to fall over, face down on the ground, where her attacker continued to pummel her, hitting her 17 more times to kill her.
Andrew Borden returned home around 10:30 a.m., and when he went to unlock the door, it did not budge. He knocked to get someone's attention, and Borden's maid went to open the door, only to find it was jammed. Bridget, the maid, would later testify that she heard Lizzie laughing at the top of the home steps. Remember, Abby Borden would have been dead at this time, and only those on the second floor of the home would be able to see her body. Lizzie, of course, only the denied any accusations of her being on the second floor of the home. Lizzie said she helped her father take his boots off and put his slippers on so he could be comfortable enough on the couch for his nap. Lizzie told the maid that there was a sale happening at the department store, so Bridget should go, but she refused, saying she felt sick and she was going to take a nap.
At around 11:10 a.m., the maid was finishing up her chores by cleaning the third floor windows. She would testify that she heard Lizzie yell for her from the main floor. Lizzie screamed, "Maggie, come quick! Father's dead! Somebody has come in and killed him!" When Maggie, who is the maid, but like her name's Bridget, I'm not really sure why they called her Maggie, but you know, came down, she found Andrew Borden slumped on the couch where he was bleeding from multiple wounds to the head from what was possibly a hatchet. The doctor would later say that Mr. Borden was likely sleeping at the time of the attack and pronounced both Andrew and Abby Borden dead.
Of course, these deaths were investigated. Lizzie was questioned many times, and her initial answers were very strange and contradictory. At first, she said she heard groaning noises or heard or scraping or some sort of distress call before entering the house. A few hours later, she said she heard nothing and entered the home not realizing anything was wrong. Lizzie was asked multiple times about where her stepmother was, and she always answered that she received a note about her friend being sick and that Abby should visit. Lizzie then said that she thought Abby had returned home and asked if someone could go see. Maggie and the neighbor went to check on Mrs. Borden, and when they were halfway up the stairs, they could see her laying face down on the floor. The police never searched the house thoroughly, and they never checked anyone in the house for any sort of blood stains, which they later criticized for.
During their very short search of the house, investigators found two hatchets, two axes, and a hatchet head with a broken handle in the basement. The broken hatchet was determined to be the murder weapon. Abby and Andrew Borden were tested for poison during the autopsies, which was actually conducted in the Borden dining room, but that's besides the point. Later that day, Lizzie and Emma's friend Alice Russell decided to stay the night, because that's a normal thing to do after their parents have been slaughtered. Police surrounded the house all night, and one officer said he saw Lizzie Borden and Alice enter the cellar with a kerosene lamp and a slop pail, then leave the cellar, and then Lizzie returned alone. The officer said he thought he saw Lizzie bending over the sink, maybe washing something. I don't know.
On the evening, I can't do it.
No, it's so funny. Guys, we're just trying out a new thing because for the longest time we only had one mic and now we're operating with two mics and headsets and everything. So you're just going to have to bear with us.
Go ahead, Ash. Be a bit of an echo from my side.
It's all right. Go ahead, bud.
On the evening of August 6th.
Bruh.
You got me hornswoggled.
Your shimmers have been shivered.
Perplexed over here, dude.
Absolutely horn swoggled.
All right. Shut up. I'm trying to focus.
Okay, sorry.
On the evening of August 6th, two nights after the murders, the police did a more thorough search of the home, examining the sisters' dresses and confiscating the broken hatchet. The officers at the house informed Lizzie Borden that she was a suspect in the murders. The next morning, Russell said she entered the kitchen and she saw Lizzie tearing up a dress. According to Lizzie, the dress was covered in paint, so she was going to burn it. No one was able to confirm if that dress was worn at any point on the day of the murders.
On August 8th, Borden appeared at her inquest hearing. She was prescribed morphine to help calm her nerves because her behavior was very erratic. She refused to answer questions, even the questions that would benefit her. Her stories contradicted one another and were often proven false. You know that story about her taking her father's boots off and replacing them with slippers? Yet that never happened because police crime scene photos showed Andrew Borden still had his boots on when he was murdered. Borden was indicted on December 2nd, so she was off to her official trial.
Borden's trials began in New Bedford on June 5th, 1893. The trial had a chaotic start because 5 days before the trial began, there was another axe murder in Fall River. There were various similarities between the Lizzie Borden murders and the new axe murder, which were noted by the Borden jury. It did not matter much, though, because a man was convicted on the June axe murder and was proven to not be in the vicinity of Fall River at the time of the Borden murders.
A prominent point of discussion in the trifle was the hatchet head found in the basement was not convincingly demonstrated by the prosecution to be the murder weapon. The prosecutors argued that the killer had removed the handle because it would have been covered in blood. One officer testified that a hatchet handle was found near the hatchet head, but another officer contradicted this. Though no bloody clothing was found at the scene, Russell testified that on August 8, 1892, she had witnessed Borden burn a dress in the kitchen stove, saying it was ruined when she brushed against wet paint. During the course of the trial, defense never attempted to challenge the statement. Lizzie's Borden presence at the home was also a point of dispute during the trial. According to testimony, the maid, Bridget Sullivan, entered the second floor of the home at around 10:58 a.m. and left Lizzie and her father downstairs. Lizzie told several people that at this time she went into the barn and was not in the house for 20 minutes or possibly a half an hour. Bruh, what?
That's crazy, dude.
Like, what? My girl needs to get her story straight. One of the men around testified for the defense that he saw Lizzie Borden leaving the barn at 11:03 a.m., and Charles Gardner confirmed the time. At 11:10 a.m., Lizzie called Sullivan downstairs, told her Andrew had been murdered, and ordered her not to enter the room. That was really nice. I could hear that in my headset.
Sorry, that was my water.
It's okay. Instead, Borden sent her to a doc to get a doctor.
And that was the door.
That was the yeah. Both victims' heads had been removed during the autopsy. I really want to know if that also happened in the Borden dining room. Were the heads also removed because their stomachs were removed in the Borden dining room? Did you miss that part when I told you the autopsies were performed in their dining room?
I must have. They took their heads off for the autopsy?
Apparently, the
Why?
skulls were admitted to evidence during the trial and presented on June 5th, 18. Well, bro, they got hatcheted in the head. Why did they take the head off? Because they got hatcheted in the head.
Hatcheted? I'm not sure
Hatcheted.
that's a word.
Hatcheted. It's fine.
Can't wait to go been hatcheted.
Okay, let me just tell you what ha how this case ended. The presiding Associate Justice, Justin Dewey,
That
delivered
was
a
awful.
oh, don't shush. Delivered a lengthy summary that supported the defense as his charge to the jury before it was sent to deliberate on June 20th, 1893. After an hour and a half of deliberation, that's it. The jury acquitted Borden of the murders. A lot of people compare this trial to like Bruno Hauptmann, Ethel and Julius Rosenberg, and of course O.J. Simpson.
Well, yeah, of course, OJ.
So, before we get into theories and acquittal and all of that in the next segment, what are your thoughts on this case?
I feel like it's definitely one of the most well-known murder cases. And I don't know. I don't know if, like, it's just strange how this has all been set up. And how her she has so many different stories. It just doesn't sound good on your part.
Yeah, I found it interesting, like how she had like 15 different stories at 15 different times in 15 different places. Like there was nothing similar about any of them.
No. I don't know. It's just that's whack.
But like, Tim, no, we'll get into it later about what we think. But like, this poses so many similarities to O.J. Simpson, and we all know how I feel about O.J.
God, not OJ.
Guys, if you haven't, not that I'm just gonna put in a shameless plug right here. Go listen to our O.J. episode. I think that was that season one?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're gonna get into deeper discussion on what we think about this case and the theories that surround it about who may have actually done it or why maybe Lizzie Borden would have done it in the next segment. So with that being said, guys, we'll be right back. We're back, guys. So now we're gonna get into the theories. Either the theories of who did it or maybe why Lizzie Borden would have done it. And since Ashton doesn't know how to read an article, I will be covering all the theories.
No. That's good. That's good. That's good. Trust the process. Trust the
I'll
process.
just be doing all of them. Okay.
No. You're not gonna do all of them.
No, I am doing all of them. You can do the paranormal stuff or some of it. I'm not gonna allow you to do it all. Okay.
You could do theories. I'll put my two cents in. That's what I'm good at.
Yeah,
Anyways.
that's good. Okay. So obviously, if Lizzie did it, she had to have a motive for killing. I don't think most people just start killing for no reason. So
Couple people.
one of the reasons, or one of the motives people think for Lizzie's killing would be that she longed for a fancier lifestyle, which was denied by her wealthy father, which we did talk about because he obviously was giving up his estates to Abby's family. And her father was also known to be a little tight-fisted. He was enraged that he purchased a house for his sister-in-law.
Really?
Question mark, I guess. Also, she was unmarried, and so she remained a burden to her father. Not that
Bitch.
being unmarried should have been a burden, but
Yeah, it was back then.
apparently. Well, to go off of that, there was also a report that Lizzie may have been the victim of sexual abuse due to the correlation between, I don't even know how to say that, patricide and incest. A historian pointed to Lizzie's possible very poor mental health. Lizzie told a friend the day before the murders, "I feel depressed as if something was hanging over me that I cannot throw off, and it comes over me at times no matter where I am." I thought that makes me feel so sad for her. A lot of people and scientists have theorized that Lizzie suffered from epilepsy and committed the murder
Sorry about that.
and committed the murders while in a very strange state due to her epilepsy.
This picture is
The
still
other
in my phone.
thing, one of the other theories is that a nurse who treated Lizzie for whether it be her epilepsy or her poor mental health, whatever, said that Lizzie had confessed that her boyfriend committed the murders because her father disapproved of the match.
Oh, I mean that.
We don't know the identity of the boyfriend, or even if there was a boyfriend.
That's a different cover-up.
I'm gonna save this theory for last because honestly, I love it.
Look at this ad. Best thick toenail clippers. Sorry, go ahead, continue. That's definitely on topic. Maybe she killed him with a toenail clipper.
Oh, no, I don't think a toenail clipper could have done that. That
I
was,
don't know. You could clip a few eyes out with that one.
there was more cl done than clipping of the eyes.
Did they have eyes though?
Well, her father's eye was like s split in half
There you
because
go.
the
Toenail clipper.
hatchet. No. All right,
The
fine.
toenail clipper was definitely involved. How are you gonna have an ad of thick toenail clippers on a Lizzie Borden thing if she didn't use toenail clippers?
Great question.
She used toenail clippers.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm gonna keep going, okay? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's my
All right.
plan.
So obviously there's other theories that the other family members could have committed the crimes. An author of a 1992 book called Lizzie Borden, The Legend, The Truth, The Final Chapter, said that Lizzie had an illegitimate and mentally defective brother. Mentally defective is in quotations. So I'm sure the brother would have been somewhere on the spectrum or something like that. Who committed the crimes? The author theorized that Lizzie had covered up for her half sibling to conceal his existence. What the heck?
What the?
I don't know.
Dude,
But
this
then,
family's whack.
no, literally. If any of you were questioning if your family was the craziest family in the world, question no more because the Borden family is the craziest. Okay, and the last family member that could have committed the crime, obviously besides Lizzie, people theorize would be Lizzie's uncle John V. Morris, who we talked or Morris, who we talked about in the first segment.
Yeah.
People say he may have been a culprit because he was staying with the family, but was dismissed as a subject as a suspect because of an alibi that later disproved he was a suspect. The uncle, oh no, sorry, the alibi was disproved, like it was false.
Okay.
In addition, the uncle was also a butcher who always carried a cleaver, which is coincidentally a very handy murder weapon. That seems a bit of a stretch for me.
Yeah, I don't like that one. Next
I
one.
think it was in ha it had to have been a hatchet because like the wounds weren't like cleaver size. Like when I think cleaver, I'm thinking of like butcher from American Horror Story, Kathy Bates.
Like butchers are like their blade is huge, and so is a
Exactly.
hatchet. A hatchet is too, but like, I think, no, I don't like that. No.
No, I don't know. No, Cleaver is where it's at.
You're allowed to have a theory, but not that
Yeah.
theory.
This is my favorite theory. The drama that this theory brings gives me life. Okay. Others have suggested that Lizzie Borden and Bridget Sullivan, the maid, conspired to commit the murders together, either because of a romantic relationship between the pair or a mutual dislike of the other older Bordens. So Bridget appeared to know or at least suspect that Lizzie's stepmother was dead before the discovery as her bo of her body, as she refused to go upstairs to Mrs. Borden's room to tell her about Mr. Borden's death. When a neighbor went to get a sheet to cover Mr. Borden's body, Bridget reportedly said, "We'll need to," even though Mrs. Borden's body had not yet been discovered. But the theory behind the, I mean, I could see not liking either one of the like Bordens, like Abby or Andrew Borden, because ew. But like, I've seen a bunch of theories where Lizzie and the maid Bridget were like romantically involved. We love a good lesbian love story, okay? But like, apparently, maybe they were like canoodling or something, and then
What
canoodle
is canoodling?
the sexy time.
Could have said that.
You don't
We
like
were canoodling earlier.
I
Don't mind us, we were just canoodling. That's a stupid word. That's such a word they used in 1893.
canoodling.
Oh, that's so stupid. It's uncomfortable too.
I'm sorry. Anyways,
Canoodling.
apparently Lizzie and Bridget could have been canoodling, and then oh my gosh, okay, I'll start over. I won't use the word canoodling. Apparently, Lizzie and Bridget could have been having the sexy time. What do you want me to say, my man?
They were doing the dirty.
Okay, they were doing the dirty. They
No,
were
no,
doing the deed. They were.
Sure, that works.
I
I'm
don't
trying to
know.
keep the sponsorships.
Okay, well, anyways, they were doing it, and Mrs. Borden walked in. And it was like, oh, so like, obviously people in the LGBTQ are more accepted now. Like that's an acceptable thing. But it's not like fully accepted. Obviously, there's still like a certain taboo about it and stuff. But like,
Which there shouldn't be, but
exactly. But imagine two lesbians in the 1890s.
dude, that you would have been home.
No, literally.
You would have been home for that.
I know. So, no wonder they wanted to get rid of them.
Right?
But that's my favorite theory, and honestly, the one I'm gonna go with.
The lesbian love story?
Yeah, the lesbian love story.
That's the title of this episode. Lizzie Borden, the lesbian love story.
Wait, can we? I can't, please. No, I want that so bad. That would be such clickbait.
Is Lizzie Borden a lesbian?
She 100% is. Have you ever watched Dickinson? The whole question throughout that whole show is Emily Dickinson a lesbian? Yes,
Is
she
she?
is. Oh, she has to be. Have you ever read any of Emily Dickinson's poems? She's gay.
Did you ever say?
No, bro, she grew up in the eight, like Civil War.
Oh, the, no, you never say that. I didn't know when she, I didn't know who that is.
Exact. You don't know who Emily Dickinson is?
I've heard the name, but like, not really.
Okay. But that's the theory I'm going with. Lizzie and Bridget, they were having.
That's a theory that makes the most sense out of the ones you just shared, honestly.
I mean, the aggressive, enraged father also makes sense because he kind of just seems like he'd be that type of person. But
The sexually abusive part?
yeah, and like he didn't like the boyfriend or whatever, but I'm gonna go with the lesbian love story.
I think I'm gonna go with. I'll go with the lesbian love story too.
Do you have any of your own theories, maybe, that you would like to propose after you've heard all of the information?
No, I could think of just the way the family sounds. I could think of just pure rage. Is really like
That's like, it was not an act of like Oopsie doopsie.
No, it
It
was
was
pure.
straight up. I hate you, and I will kill you because of it.
But I think I could see it, yeah.
And maybe it's not exactly like they were canoodling or something, and like that's how that happened. But like,
Canoodling. Sounds like a summer activity.
let's go canoodling.
Would you mind joining me in some canoodling
Could you please ask Will about that? Want to see his reaction so bad.
don't ever say canoodling ever again, please.
Okay, maybe Lizzie and Bridget were caught in the act of sexy time, but like, but I feel like maybe there was like some sort of lesbian tension.
Oh, yeah, it definitely seems like it.
Like, they seem to be pretty close. You can't tell me the maid Bridget did not know about the murders.
Oh, she definitely knew about the murders.
Like, how's she cleaning the windows on the third floor, which means you have to go past second floor? And obviously, anyone that walked, like we talked about it in the first segment, anyone that was on the second floor could have seen Mrs. Borden just gatted.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you're going to the third floor to clean the windows, as the maid was doing, you would have seen dead Mrs. Borden face down on the floor.
Right.
But she said she didn't see her.
How do you not see that?
No, literally.
I can go with the lesbian love story.
Yes. Lesbian love story it is, guys.
That's two for the lesbian love story of Lizzie Borden.
That is two for is Lizzie Borden a lesbian?
That's a new title.
No.
Lizzie Borden Murders, a lesbian love story.
Yes,
That's like a
please.
fairy tale.
Disney, hop on this right now.
Disney, give us some murderers. They need to get darker.
Well, Disney needs some like lesbian. They need some like representation for the LGBTQ community, and it should start with the lesbian love story of Lizzie Borden.
Right? Like when I think of lesbian love stories, I think of Lizzie Borden.
No, literally, first thing that comes to mind, Lizzie Borden. I'm so sorry, but it's true. Lizzie Borden was a lesbian. You can't change my mind. So you don't have any of your own theories?
Not really, no.
The only thing I would say is I don't know if they were like actively lesbians together, but maybe they were like had like a secret romantic relationship.
Is that a thing? Like actively lesbian? Like this isn't me trying to be rude or anything, but like is that active lesbian relationships? That just seems so weird.
An active lesbian relationship would be, yes, I'm in a relationship with another woman. Like maybe they weren't in a relationship.
Okay, that makes more sense. The way you worded it sounded kind of weird to me.
They're lesbians in a relationship that work out. They're
Right?
active.
Oh, dude. Lesbian love story. Activate. Like, that's what it
Activate.
sounds like. No, it makes more sense now.
No, like they weren't like in a relationship. But maybe
Okay,
they
that
had
makes
feelings
sense.
for each other, and the only way they could be together is by killing them. Mr. and Mrs. Borden and taking Mr. Borden's money. Oh my gosh, maybe that's my theory. It's not that they disliked them, but they just, that was the only way they were going to be able to be together, and they needed money.
That makes sense. I still like the other theories way better.
Oh,
The
yeah.
other lesbian theories way better.
Why? The fact that they just got caught canoodling and.
What did we say about this? What did we say about using the word canoodling?
Canoodle. It's like noodler, but noodler.
Noodler.
Canoodler.
Sounds like a villain. Oh gosh darn it, it's the Noodler back at it again.
The Riddler. It's the new Batman villain. The
Gosh darn it, the Noodler is canoodling again. Someone, quick, someone get justice for him. He's canoodling.
canoodling. End of the canoodling now.
Is that the Noodler canoodling on top of that building?
Oh, never. He needs to stop that canoodling now. Oh my God.
Noodler, we need you to stop canoodling this instant.
My gosh, no, it's like Pokemon. That's the new Pokemon. Noodler, I choose you! They're
Noodler, quick, use canoodling.
Could you imagine what that move would look like?
It's just a bunch of hearts coming out of him.
Oh, it's like The
Yeah, but hopefully they don't speak like this. Here's your accent. I think The
Sims. That's how they sound.
Dude, I played The Sims once. I had a banging house, actually.
I let my Sims die. My Sims burnt my house.
Dude, my Tomodachis are probably dead.
Oh, I wonder how my Tobodachis are doing.
Where's the DS charger? I have Pokemon. I have Madden on there. I have.
It's in the drawer. Well, I'll get it out after the episode.
I want to start DSing again.
Okay, well, I gotta get the. Let's get back to Lizzie Borden, shall we?
Oh yeah, they're way off topic.
Okay, all right. So let's get into the fun. This is the other fun part. Let's talk about the paranormal, shall we?
On, let me pull it up real quick.
I'm using the one by the Herald News. Shout out to Herald News for giving us this article.
Oh, dude, I'm doing the one from the National Paranormal Society.
I just heard you hiccup in my ear and it was
Oh, I'm
weird.
so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry.
It's great.
I forgot that the mic is close to me now.
I know
So
we
you
don't have
can.
to share a mic. Shut up. Okay. But while you're pulling that up, do you want me to start?
Ew, what is this ad? Oh God, this ad is disgusting. What are you looking up on your computer?
What do you mean? What are you looking at?
I exited out. They were canoodling. Was very gross. It was a bed ad.
Ew.
I don't know what kind of how they're trying to sell these beds, but by Jason Black, Ghost and August 8th. Why isn't this by Ghost Adventures? I want to go to that museum so bad.
No, Zach Bacon's. Guys, we're gonna set up a GoFundMe so you can send us to Zach Bacon's museum and we can make a whole episode about it.
Yeah, please do it. I really want to get possessed by Ted Bundy. That sounds like a great
No,
time.
literally, I want Charles Manson.
What'd you do over the summer? Oh, Charles, I was Charles Manson
I was
possessed me.
literally Charles Manson. No. Okay, let's get back into this episode before we start talking about what awful people in the world we want to possess us.
Don't know, dude.
You gonna start? This is you.
What am I supposed to
Okay, I'll start.
Oh, paranormal, paranormal, paranormal. Hold on, I gotta scroll through. I gotta scroll through. The hauntings. Okay. Oh, it's me. Sorry.
I'll start. So I'm gonna go off an article from the Herald News. And so the first thing that they say throughout this is believers in the paranormal claim that the house is haunted, the Lizzie Borden house, by everyone from Abby and Andrew to the ghosts of two children murdered by their mother at the house next door in 1848, to Lizzie herself on a part-time basis, apparently, since people claim Lizzie also haunts Maplecroft, her post-trial house on French Street. She's living that double home life. She actually has divorced houses.
Oh,
So
dude,
she
that's
has, I
crazy.
know, so she has to go in between as a ghost. Okay.
Sorry, to go to my other house this weekend.
I gotta go haunt the people staying at my actual like childhood home and then I'll be back. So one TripAdvisor review said, I was told that if you leave money on the dresser, Andrew Borden will leave you alone at night. If you select this room and would like to be left alone, I suggest you leave the money.
Okay.
That's not
That's
bad. I'll just put my dollar up there and he can have my dollar. The
Dude, you know
Lizzie.
how much that dollar is probably worth from back then?
Bro, I'm talking like a dollar now.
I know, but he saw that dollar now and he's like, dude, this looks like.
He's like, $1 million? Yes, please.
Gonna make that man live large as a ghost. He's gonna be repping the Bugatti.
The.
Him and Casper. Dude, okay, I saw this thing once. Sorry,
Okay,
we're
all
getting
right.
off topic again.
No, no,
I
no,
saw
no.
this. I saw this thing once, and it said, "Would you take care of like a cemetery for $80 an hour?"
Yeah.
Right?
I would take care of it for free.
I know what me and Casper are gonna be rolling out in a Bentley every night.
Shut up. Don't even.
That would be a great job, actually. For $80 an hour? Not for free. No, my God, you're crazy.
I would do it for free. That's so cool.
I'd make that place so bougie, though. Like, oh yeah, Annabelle, you trying to go see your cousin? Yeah, aisle one, row three, dude. She's over there, spotless. That thing would be clean. Those gravestones would be made with marble, dude.
No, literally. Yeah. But like $80, I would do it for like 10 minimum wage.
Why?
Because that's so cool.
It just seems so weird sometimes. I
Taking
just
care of
feel,
the cemetery?
yeah, I just feel disrespectful. We've had this conversation before.
Yeah, like okay, I completely agree. Like it is, I feel bad like walking over people's graves, but like oh my gosh, when people get shivers, is that because I'm walking over their future grave? Stop, wait. My whole mind has been discombobulated. My timbers have been shivered.
Well, I'm perplexed right now.
Okay, all right. We need to.
Right. Oh.
Hold on one second.
What is walking next to me? Yo, there's a creek like right here and I haven't been moving.
I'm sorry. Okay. Anyways, the Lizzie Borden house has been featured on Ashton Nye's favorite paranormal show, Ghost Adventure. Dude, are you okay?
No, there's something creaky right here,
It's,
bro.
yeah, the floor.
I'm not moving.
Just don't worry about it, okay? Anyways, the Lizzie Borden house has been featured on Ashton Nye's favorite paranormal show, Ghost Adventures.
Ghost Adventures.
And it was an episode that featured a tour guide claiming the ghost of Andrew Borden actually punched her in the back. Some people have claimed to have heard noises of creaking or footsteps, children's laughter, and seeing a ghostly face appearing on a wall in the basement. But many other people, including other former tour guides, have spent time in the house without any incidents. A lady named Shelley said, "I've slept in the house alone in every room on every floor. I've never seen anything. I've heard odd sounds once in a while. You could explain about 99.9% of them."
Dude, this dude is interesting.
I know. And then the same lady said, "People have checked out on me, terrified. I've had to walk people to the bathroom. The dead won't hurt you. It's the living outside the window that you need to be worried about." That is so deep, and I didn't need it. TBH.
That is really deep. I'm not down for that. This place sounds sketchy. Oh, should I tell you what Jason Black witnessed when he was staying here?
Oh, yes, please.
He is a paranormal guy from Ghosts and Hauntings. This is what he experienced.
All right, I'm ready.
So first, when he experienced Mr. Andrew Borden. Apparently he enjoys watching the activity in the home that he has, and he answered like every EVP question that was about him. He went about his business a lot. He saw the spirit of Mrs. Abby Borden. Dang, this echo is crazy. Sorry, guys. Can you hear me? Are you echoing when you talk?
No.
It's just me.
I mean, I can hear like a small little muffle, like,
It's just
but
me.
it's not like extreme echo.
Right. In the guest bedroom, now called the John Morse room, an indentation of a body on the room's bed was discovered by a staff member. Like someone had just laid on top of it. 1 month after renovations and refurnishing the home was complete. Faint cries are heard in the walls. No.
Yeah, it's like somebody's in the wall.
That's Oh, he saw Lizzie Borden.
Oh, Lizzie herself?
Yes.
Stop.
He saw an apparition of a woman that looks just like Lizzie, was seen down in the basement looking around, possibly making sure that she disposed of all the evidence.
Oh.
He saw the spirit of Bridget Maggie Sullivan before he went to sleep, and it looked like she was still trying to say what happened.
The lesbian lovers, they're staying in the house together. They were lesbians for sure.
With Mr. Andrew Borden, though.
Yeah,
What
because
if
as ghosts, they can like disappear and sneak around.
you got that off American Horror Story?
Let me live my life.
There was a ton of cold spots in Maggie's room. He, when he interviewed the former owners, the McGinns, and present-day owners, these are the experiences they had. Lights turning on and off. Every ghost does that. Doors open and close, followed by footsteps. This is like everyday ghost stuff.
I
This
need
is
a specific Lizzie board. If a hatchet is not being thrown across the room, I don't want it.
Shadow people have been seen, especially on the staircase going down the main hallway and walking into other parts of the house. Sometimes staff and guests can feel someone brush against them on the stairs and in various parts of the home. Disembodied voices have been heard as well. Owner Leanne Wilbur felt the cold touch of a finger run down her back when she quickly
No, I don't like it.
turned around, no one was visible. Entities of two young children. Bro, I
No,
say
these are
this.
the kids that got absolutely hacked next door.
I say this every time. Children that are spirits are the scariest things in my life.
No, they're demons.
They have to be.
Most child spirits, demons, for sure. 90% of the time, demon.
Do they have to be
Guys,
demons?
go investigate the Sally House. We are
Sure.
doing an episode on the Sally House.
Are we? Are we on?
We are.
Look at the picture of the kid with the white eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, from the Amityville Horror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you guys go to our Instagram at the Dead Rewind Podcast, you can actually see that picture.
Oh no.
What?
When one of the former owners was staying in the house by themselves, they saw marbles rolling out of a room.
I'm perplexed.
I would be moving out of that house so.
I'd be like, who's going? We leaving? Okay.
Then obviously the children have been seen by the living in various parts of the house.
That's, yeah. Let's see. Do I have anything different? What? Oh, my phone is a whacking. Okay.
Is he boarding?
Lizzie Borden, what are you doing?
One of my worst fears is I'm gonna wake up and there's gonna be like a child standing over me.
I think you'll be okay. But okay. Here's how I feel about the okay, I heard that in my ear too. Here's how I feel about the paranormal experiences, occurrences. They seem like every other dude, you sitting up against the door. They
No,
seem
no. Someone's flushing the toilet.
I know these people are like, oh my God, their laughs are so annoying. Stop laughing.
Shut up, let me live my life. You buffoon, you baboon, you're boxed like
You
a
silly
fish.
goose.
You're dog water, no earnings, no PR.
Poverty franchise.
Poverty franchise. 1v1 me on Fortnite, dude. I'll crank in 90s on you.
Add him on Xbox at Crispy Biscuit.
At Crispy Biscuit, all caps. Biscuit is spelled BISKIT.
Crispy,
Crispy
it's a
KWASPY. Crispy Biscuit. Add me, please. I'm lonely. I have no friends.
you heard it here first, folks. Add him on Xbox at Crispy Biscuit.
Only friends are on PlayStation. PlayStation is a poverty console, by the way. No one wants
Poverty
it.
console. Okay, let's get off of the Xbox talk.
At me.
Okay. Anyways, so let's see. Like I was saying, my thing about the paranormal occurrences, they're like every other paranormal occurrence. Like, what makes them different? And you know I'm not a skeptic at all.
Right, but like feet, footsteps, I mean.
Like, the only thing I see, like, specific to the Borden haunting is,
Was he boarding?
well, that and leaving the money. Like, that's a big thing, is leaving the money to for him to leave you alone.
Right. But like other than that, like lights turning on and off, I mean, that's everyday ghost stuff. If I was a ghost, I'd be doing it the most.
Yeah, I would be like, you get a haunting, and you get a haunting, and you get a haunting.
Look at these shoes. These are pretty cool. It'd be
Toss
awesome.
him across
It'd be
the
awesome if they hit you in the face right now.
room. No, literally, how would you like this boot to your face?
No one would ever want to live in the house I'm walking in.
No,
Like this,
I mean.
if a kid had this, a fart gun, you know how many times in the middle of the night I just go.
I really hope that's being picked up on that mic right now.
It is. I can hear it.
I can hear it too. yeah. But okay. And you know I'm not a skeptic, but some of these are like, and right. Here's why I'll tell you what, they're a little odd. Because now the Lizzie Borden house is a bed and breakfast at which you can stay. And I'll even pull up the website. But that's why I think it's a little suspicious, because it's like, obviously you're going to want to put on a show that'll bring you in money, because people are going to stay. People like me would stay.
Yes, we all know you would stay.
So, yeah. But you can get a tour of the Lizzie Borden house.
This is at 1 a.m. That's an odd time to close.
You can actually go on a ghost hunt in the house.
Oh my god, $285 a person? You're crazy. I'm never staying in there. It's a nice house, though.
It really is. It is really, really cool, actually. But, like, you can book a room. So, rooms include breakfast at an additional $20 per person. What the? Why is this a bed and breakfast, but I'm not getting my breakfast for free?
Wait a minute.
I'm just cheap, and I think that's dumb. Breakfast includes a mix of what the Bordens had that morning with a more modern and palatable appetite. So we excluded things like mutton and Johnny cakes, which most guests dislike, and they serve pancakes, eggs, salad, bacon, oatmeal, and fruit. So there's the Lizzie and Emma suite. It can accommodate up to 5 guests. Dang, that's a big room! It's a 2-room suite on the second floor, which includes Lizzie and Emma Borden's room. While Lizzie and Emma resided in the house, these were the rooms they stayed in. Emma's room has a full-size bed, and Lizzie's has a queen-size bed. This suite shares a bathroom with the John V. Morse Abby Borden murder room. The 2-person room rate is $275 per night. Additional guests are $125 each per night.
No, dude, that's so dummy expensive, and I don't need it.
So you have the Andrew and Abby suite. The suite can accommodate up to 5 guests. This is a 2-room suite on the second floor, and it features the room where Abby and Andrew Borden were back in the and then it was her sewing room at one point. It has a queen size bed, well, the Andrew Borden room does, and the Abby Borden room has a full size bed. The 2-person room rate is $300 per night, and additional guests are $125 extra per night.
That's crazy.
When only 2 guests rent the Andrew and Abby suite, the entire suite is theirs.
No way.
So you might as well pay that $300 and get the entire suite to yourself. The John V. Morse suite, it can accommodate up to 3 guests. The Bridget Sullivan room. It's one of the third floor rooms where the maid Bridget Sullivan, also known as Maggie, resided in the Borden house. Let's see. The Andrew Jennings room. This is one of the third floor rooms named in dedication of Lizzie Borden's defense lawyer. Yeah. So you can say that. Oh, here's the rules. If you guys want to know the rules, because this is actually kind of interesting and something you guys can look into if you're really interested in Lizzie Borden and are crazy like me. Here's the house rules. We love children at the Lizzie Borden Bed and Breakfast Museum, but only children 11 and over are allowed for overnight stays, as it's a courtesy to other guests. So not because they would get scared, but because I don't need little tiny children running around the house.
You gotta slow down a little bit.
Sorry.
I can hear you right here, and you're talking about it. You need to slow down a little bit.
Let me say it again. We love children at the Lizzie Borden Bed and Breakfast Museum. Only children 11 and over are allowed for overnight stays as a courtesy to other guests.
She plays with my boo-boos. She braids my hair.
No, she kisses my boo-boos. She plays with my boo-boos. At first I thought she plays with my boo-boos. This is my boo-boo. Stop playing with my boo-boo.
Dude, I'm actually so sorry.
At first, I was so taken back. I thought you said, she plays with my boobs.
Don't ever say that word again. This is a PG.
I don't want to talk about canoodling anymore.
Heck, we need to keep this podcast. We need to keep our sponsors.
Can I keep going with house rules? No alcohol is permitted on the property. They already have had two fatal head injuries in the home. That's so funny. Slapper. So silly. Quiet time, quote unquote, quiet time, is to begin at 11 p.m. This is to ensure that all the overnight guests have the opportunity to sleep if they choose to do so.
No, that's just sexy time excuse.
We're canoodling, just like Bridget and Lizzie did.
Right. Do you think they get jealous when they see people canoodling?
No, because they're definitely canoodling as ghosts.
Canoodling as a ghost?
Have you watched American Horror Story?
This is uncomfortable.
Okay. There's no candle burning or incense. We love pets, but cannot accommodate them. Common areas include the entire first floor in the basement. If you would like to stay up late watching movies, doing research, or engage in some ghost hunting, you are more than welcome to utilize these areas. I don't like how it says this. There's no smoking or vaporizing in the house.
No vaporizing, please.
It's vaping.
Please don't use that vaporize tool here.
If we see you smoking, we are going to assume you're on fire and take the appropriate action. We're going to dump water on you. Oh, that's funny.
Dang, these people are comedians, bro.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Would you stay at the Lizzie Borden house?
Yeah.
I think that would be sweet.
For like a night?
I think that would be so cool.
I just need money. Just put money everywhere.
Just dollar bills.
Right.
I would stay at the Lizzie Borden house.
Oh, you can book it tonight for only $229.
Only $229. I
packing my bags right now.
We're going. Yeah, okay. So I think that's we gotta do our closing thoughts. Would you like to start with your closing thoughts?
Really the only thing I have to say is that I believe she definitely did it.
Oh, you do think Lizzie Borden did it?
Because
she was acquitted. Well, okay. I guess if I'm saying I think O.J. Simpson did it, then I can't not say I think Lizzie Borden did it.
She definitely did it. And it was definitely out of pure rage.
Yeah. Because her and her lesbian lover could not be together.
Stop Snapchatting your friends.
I only have one friend.
You're not sneaky. I could see the light.
Shut up.
But no, I think it was definitely out of pure anger and rage, and I think that's what I think.
That's good. Oh, we didn't even read the... Hold on.
What didn't we read?
I wanted to read the... You asked me if I was going to...
Oh, the nursery.
Yeah, I want to read it, because it's funny. Well, it's not funny, but like...
It's a pretty funny nursery
rhyme. Okay, so there's like a nursery rhyme, a folk rhyme, a nursery rhyme. And it's a popular skipping rope rhyme. So when you're jump roping, this is what people would say. So the rhyme goes, Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41.
Lizzie Borden
took an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41.
Yo, these children need to, like, stay.
Okay, let me just, I really, because I found this very interesting, and maybe I'm the only one that noticed this. Okay, obviously, she did not give her mother or her father 40 or 41 whacks.
That's way too excessive.
It was like 18 and 12.
Way too excessive.
Second of all, technically, Lizzie Borden didn't kill her mother. It was her stepmother.
Oh, man, you were... You're one of those
people. I'm one of those people.
She probably reminds the teacher that we had homework.
No, I hate that so much. I literally hate that so much.
Are you going to collect the homework? I gotta give you 40 whacks here in a second, dude.
Well, the rhyme... Suddenly you turn into Lizzie Borden.
I just start evolving.
I am now Lizzie Borden. 40 whacks for you. Okay. So, but then there's also the rhyme has a less well-known second verse. And it goes like this. Let me see. You didn't know this, did you?
Does it? No, I did not know
It
that.
goes, Andrew Borden now is dead. Lizzie hit him on the head. Up in heaven he will sing. On the gallows she will swing.
Oh my god.
It's so dark. What child is singing about this?
Well, it's like Ring Around the Rosie.
That is so dark and twisted. Ring around
the rosy. Okay, that's not. Shut up.
Rosie.
Shut up. Shut up.
Ashes. Ashes. We all fall down. Yay!
Like, who makes these? Who isn't? This is a good idea.
No, it literally is horrifying. Could you imagine just some little kids like jump roping at you too? There's e-book.
You're walking down the street all of a sudden, he's seen children jump roping. You see my Lizzie Borden.
I'd be like, hey, you're done. Would you like 40 wax?
That is a child.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
People need to stop texting me. I know I'm like so cool. I hate when people do this, dude. I'm gonna text like 8 different text messages. I really don't care.
No, literally, I'm getting the same ones. Okay, so before we get too much into this random
just
conversation,
in here.
you? Question mark?
No, I don't think so. I've taken 2 showers already, and it's 4.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna wrap this up. Any more closing thoughts? We both think Lizzie did it because she had a lesbian lover, and she was mad because she couldn't be with said lesbian lover.
Yeah, that's definitely what happened.
Okay.
Other than that, I have nothing else.
I have nothing else either.
Fantabulous.
Guys, go check us out on Instagram or at our website. We would love to hear from you guys. Make sure if you're not listening on Spotify, head over to Spotify or on our website or something. We will have a question for you at the end of this episode that we would love for you to listen to.
Yes.
I think we should like, well, we're not gonna have any bloopers either because we're trying to figure out this whole thing.
The question is, do you think Lizzie Borden is a lesbian?
That should be a question, yes.
Question.
Why? Come on.
What are your theories on the Lizzie Borden murders?
Yeah. Okay.
She was definitely a lesbian.
She was definitely a lesbian. That couldn't be with her lesbian lover. So she gadded everybody. Okay, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for bearing with us. This is season 3 of The Dead Rewind. Ashton and I are both super ecstatic to be doing this for you guys. Our timbers are shivered. We are perplexed.
Hornswoggled.
Absolutely hornswoggled. We're so excited. And this season, we're getting rid of the lighthearted stuff. We did that for season 2, especially around the holiday season. Not anymore, guys. We have some great paranormal episodes for you. We have some great true crime episodes for you. Some that involve serial killers. Some that involve cults. We've got some Salem witch trials in there somewhere. It's going to be very fun. And we can't wait to share this whole experience with you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and happy hauntings.
I said with Jake Gyllenhaal.